How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Woo. Hour number two of the early line is live right here on Sports Grid. That is Donnie Wrightside. I am Kevin Walsh, and the college basketball world never stops. Well, that's not true. At some point it'll stop, but not in March. Not in March. And we saw a result last night that Donnie, apparently, according to the odds, doesn't matter. Michigan versus Iowa. The Hawkeyes win 82-71. At one point had a lead of 19 in this game. Michigan's biggest lead in the game was zero. They led for none of this basketball game here, precisely 0 seconds overall. And a good win for Iowa, and I'd love to talk about Iowa, maybe we will, but Donnie, the Michigan Wolverines were minus 1,400 to make the tournament. Before this game started, somebody, I guess, said, all right, I guess that was a little strong. We'll move it to minus 1,100. Handled comfortably at home versus Iowa, Donnie. What do you think, though? Just being out there and tussling around with a Big Ten team, push them to the 7 line here? Or do you think this maybe puts Michigan on the ropes?
Yeah, you look at, like, Wall Street, like, there's a big, like, craze of, like, buying and selling. And that's what I appear like, you know, behind the scenes at the FanDuel Sportsbook. You know, bells going off and people screaming out here as there was a 17-point lead by Iowa. Pull it down! Pull it down! As they scream there to get those Michigan odds off the board here. And rightfully so, Kevin. We lined it up yesterday. And we even asked the question, like, what would you rather do here? Because there's still a chance, obviously, that I think Michigan can make the tournament because of how they were priced. But we just talked about, why don't you just take Iowa yesterday on the money line and just ride that ticket out? Because if Iowa wins that game, yeah, Michigan still can make it in. But if you're thinking that they're going to get knocked out, Iowa's probably going to be the one to do it. And they did it yesterday. 82-71 here. Wasn't even close. 47-30. Made it a game in the second half. Not really at this point. So we start to talk about the Big Ten here and trying to get in. Roughly a 500 team in Big Ten play, which it looks like Michigan's going to be, a possibility of 10-10. Why do I say that? They go to play Ohio State on the road, which they will be underdogs. And then on the season itself. So let me get this straight, Kevin. Michigan is going to be 16-14 on the season and a shoo-in to get in. And not even Kevin a shoo-in like, hey, well, they won the Big Ten Conference Tournament. They get the automatic bid. An at-large bid for a team barely above 500 on the season. Priced that way yesterday, but this is going to get really interesting, Kevin, because as we said, heading into the Ohio State game, if they lose that one, what happens if you're all tight and playing on a neutral court and you get bounced early in the Big Ten tournament? Are we still pricing them as favorites at that point? I think not.
Listen, they're dogs in their last game. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah,
you can't be -1,000 going into the Big Ten tournament needing to win a basketball. That's just not how this goes. It makes no sense. It really does not. And it never made sense here because you knew Iowa was live coming into the game, Don, if you've watched any Michigan basketball and any Hawkeye basketball here. The selection specials market has not been reposted. I anxiously await its reposting, and we'll see where the numbers land. Just to, again, and by the way, bracketology is not the end-all be-all, but it is unquestionably the most popular one. It is easily accessible, and it just gives us a reference point, Donnie. This was updated again quite recently. Ooh. Actually, this morning it was updated there. Joey L. likes to make sure he gets us this, you know, before we get a tangy episode. He's still got them within the last four buys. Rutgers beats Indiana and almost went into the last four buys market. Indiana's now just the first four out here because it's the Big Ten tournament. And then it's basically, Don, you know, the field of 68 is the Big Ten tournament and then however many other teams you need to get into the mix. The radio audience rocking and rolling with us here on this Friday. Appreciate everybody tuning in to the early line. Donnie, the Michigan last four byes. I'm more intrigued at this point. I mean, Iowa up to the six line maybe. The Hawkeyes at one point were a buck 20-1, now 90-1. Keegan Murray, a legitimate win you a game kind of player, had 23 points on 7 of 9 shooting versus Michigan. But and again, I mean, Don, like, shouldn't Iowa be on like the two line here? I mean, they beat the Michigan Wolverines on the road.
Yeah, Iowa moving up. You know, Big Ten Ben out there sending out tweets last night that said he thinks Iowa's got the best chance in the Big Ten for running wild in March Madness. But you know, Kevin, equating it to other sports, you know, it has the feeling like Michigan continues to slide here, at least in our minds, but not to really the power brokers that look like they are destined to get them in. You remember Shohei Ohtani would go out and throw 7 innings, shutout ball, go 2 for 3 at the plate with a home run. And like, man, Vlad had 2 walks last night, an 0-for-3 effort, and extended his lead early in the season on Shohei Ohtani for the MVP. That's what it feels like here. So Joe Lenardi, who updated his bracketology this morning, still has him the last four byes in, which leads me to believe in how far can you actually fall at this point? They're going to lose to Ohio State. At least I think they're going to lose to Ohio State. And then where are they at? They have to be at least on the last four in line. And watch out. Those bid stealers are going to be out there. Michigan is not safe. I don't care what the experts say right now.
Here, I'll give you another analogy. You ever seen Ted, Donnie, you know, with the bear? And he's out there and he keeps trying to get fired. And instead, he keeps getting promoted. That's basically Michigan. Like, we just lost by double digits at home. What do you mean we're a 10 seed here? Like, Michigan, like, you had to think that Juwan Howard scrapping it up with Greg Gard and whatever that assistant coach's name was. I think it was Johnny Jabroni. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But you had to think that you listen, Applebee's over there took a whale of a smack to the head. You had to think that might hurt their chances. And it turns out, Lenardi, I like that team's gumption, man. Let's get them in a tournament. Madness. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's up, everybody? Early line is live right here with you. Man, DRS does a much better one, though. I got to be honest with you. Look, we're rocking and rolling, though, on this Friday. I almost forgot what day it was there. I mean, you almost get a headache talking like that. I don't know how Buddy
now,
does
hold on. So you forget it's Friday. Yesterday, we're on the radio on the money line. You punt on the final 20 minutes of the show. Like, I'm already checked out. It's incredible.
That's ugly. That's unbelievable. Man. I'll be honest with you.
We were higher ups here.
Here's the problem is I usually, you know, I get to dart out at the end of this show here early. So I was like, what's the deal? Why do I got to do the last 20 on Moneyline? Uh-huh. Leave Donnie alone. Listen up for 20 minutes, man. It's going to be good stuff. I heard the ratings were skyrocketing, though. The one guy in his chair with his pipe, he's like, ooh, this is going to be the best content of the day. Maybe rivaled by a little take it or leave it. We'll get back to some college hoops. Huge games this weekend. Coach K's final dance. At home, UNC, all that good stuff. Looking at some stars in action, though, tonight, Donnie. Maybe the biggest game on the board comes to us with Chicago as they're going to host the Milwaukee Bucks on the second leg of a back-to-back. 3-point dog at home, big-time total, 239. Milwaukee's offense has been on fire to start the second half of this season. Giannis Antetokounmpo, though, always has the attention. Points, rebounds, and assists, 48.5. A number that we, you know, when we're doing take it or leave it, we're looking at in the stars. It's Giannis, and it's Giannis to fill it up. What do you think, DRS? Giannis, take it or leave it, over 48.5 points, rebounds, and assists.
It's always a scary proposition. Let's just go back to February 15th here, just before the All-Star break, a 50-14 night, followed up against the 76ers with 32-11. And also, I'm leaving out the assist where he's getting 9. I'm just going to points and rebounds here. Brooklyn after the break, 29-14, 26-16, 28-17 versus the Miami Heat with throwing in assists here. It's hard. And I take, hey, Patrick Mahomes, you never want to take his under because he can go off. It's the same thing with Giannis here. And outside of playing the Miami Heat, are you crazy enough to take an under with Giannis? Now, the Chicago Bulls, grimy team, they're going to play tough and maybe slow it down a little bit here tonight because it is the second leg of a back-to-back. But I'm not taking unders on Giannis's points, assists, and rebounds when he can go for 28 and 17 and then flip in five assists on top of it here. I would take the over. I would take the over unless, again, they're playing the Miami Heat. It's that simple.
Look, it's one of those spots with Giannis, Donnie. Like, and I know he just snuck over it versus Miami, but he has this ability. Again, it's similar to Doncic, and I know it's very expensive. Harden is they can have explosion nights in every category. Like, Donnie, if I told you he has 28 points and 5 assists, oh, that's going to be tough. 17 rebounds versus Miami. You cash over the number. That's the thing with Giannis right now. I will say his assist numbers – post-break, 6-6-5. You look maybe for a little bit more than that if you're going to get in the mix. But again, look at this total. It's 239. Chicago this year when playing without rest, 10-3 to the over. So points, like, and listen, so it's you take that trend. Is there going to be 240 in this game? Obviously, that's the direction that you would push. But again, this number can fall 10 points south of the listed total. You're still getting almost 230 points. In the basketball game, there's so many opportunities out there for Giannis here in this spot. It makes a lot of sense. And I'll say as well, just looking at the game as a whole here, this feels like a legitimately good spot, though, to be backing the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't love coming on this Chicago Bulls team here on the second leg of a back-to-back. I think Milwaukee certainly has their momentum about them, Donnie, with that home victory versus Miami. I don't think 3 is all that expensive to be backing the Bucks despite being on the road.
No, it's not, and I agree with you there. Anytime you're on a back-to-back leg, you're automatically looking to the other team, and sometimes looking to the other team without that, you know, championship grade that Milwaukee has. Milwaukee looks like they're zoning in here for a good playoff run once again, and this is one of those where I'm saying to myself, you're right, what are you getting out of Giannis? What's a bad night for Giannis? 26, 11, and 5? Like, that's a bad night for him. I expect them to be full gas tonight, and I would take the Milwaukee Bucks tonight to win this game and cover.
And if we're taking a look right, and by the way, Milwaukee over 9 of their last 10 games, averaging well over 120 points per game post-break. Taking a look, DRS, huge spread, Denver-Houston. Nuggets are laying 13.5. The intrigue, though, for me, and I think for a lot of people, is always Nikola Jokic. And now, it's not Russell Westbrook-esque, who for a while, I mean, look, Russ at his peak was about minus 300, 400 to put up triple-doubles. But it, right now, the scope of the NBA, it's about as short as a number you will find to put up a triple-double on Nikola Jokic here, Donnie. This game versus the Houston Rockets, plus 125 for a center to have a triple-double. Just to give you an idea of what this guy does here, Donnie. Take it or leave it, the Joker for a triple-double.
Maybe about, yeah, how about this, a bounce-back performance to get a triple-double after he had 22-16 his last, you know, effort, only 4 assists. But the game before that, probably one of the easiest triple-doubles you thought you would ever have by saying, hey, he's going to get 18 rebounds and 11 assists. Oh, man, sign me up for that one. Only 8 points in that game. Anytime he's out there on the basketball court, you have a legitimate chance to take down that triple-double. And also, Kevin, we're not listing this line total at 203.5. We are once again in the mid-230s. So if you anticipate a lot of points, Nikola Jokic is going to be involved in that with points, rebounds, and assists. Almost like one of those years where Russell Westbrook would have, where you're entering the game going, it would be an upset to me if he doesn't get a triple-double. How does he start this game, Kevin, right? 9 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists in the first quarter, and off you go. I like Nikola Jokic here to definitely be in the ballpark and probably cash in that ticket for a triple-double tonight, no doubt about it.
I'm a little worried about the blowout. I am, because that's how you missed it against Portland now again. You should 18 rebounds, 11 dimes. You should never be missing that triple-double. Malone, just send Jokic back out there to get a basket. I mean, he would have scored on that Portland team at will. You never should be missing that triple-double. But interestingly enough, Donnie, look, it's not a big sample size. You don't know why it is, but he's played the Rockets twice this year. He had 2 assists and 3 assists in the 2 games, which is a little odd to me here as to what, you know, that might be. They have the opportunity to run this team, of course, out of the gym. I think now it's going to be very, very expensive, but I wanted to take a look what his double-double and a win – never mind, minus 440 for a double-double and a win. Never mind. My goodness, man. That's about as expensive as you'll see those things, Donnie. Minus 440 for a player performance double?
Not enough. Should he do it easily? Absolutely. But there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that can come into that, like a blowout where he gets, I don't know, 21 points, 6 assists, and 9 rebounds, and you don't cash in that ticket. Not for me. Even though he should get it, not for me at all.
Yeah, absolutely not. Let's talk, Donnie, about now another guy people maybe will be back in a player performance double market would be a Rudy Gobert, plus 144 for a double-double and a Jazz win. But they have an interesting game here tonight versus the New Orleans Pelicans. Only a 3-point favorite. So it shows the Pels are garnering a little bit more respect from the odds makers here on a game-to-game basis. But Gobert's been playing some good ball, and his points plus rebounds right now, DRS, 26.5, and it looks like it's on its way up. What do you think about Rudy Gobert here for a big night?
Yeah, not bad. One of the guys that we always take a look at and say, oh, he only plays defense out there, Kevin. What good is he? Well, how about his last game against Houston? 27 points and 17 rebounds. The game before that, 16 and 14. And then playing the Dallas Mavericks on the 25th of February, 14 and 17. Why not? If we're looking at another decent total here, he's being involved in much more offensively. Because there's a couple games here before, like the Los Angeles Lakers game before the break, 5 points and 11 rebounds. Ride the hot hand is key in the NBA. And if I'm Rudy Gobert and I just dropped 27 points, I want that rock. Let's go over.
Perfect, perfect, perfect breakdown to me. You're looking at a guy that has hit this, not only it, but like comfortably secured your over in all 3 games post-break. I mean, look, the 27 that he put up versus Houston, obviously more outlier than expectation, but the rebounds are there, the points are there. The points on their own is 14.5. The rebounds on its own is 12.5. And he is, again, continually getting you over those numbers. Gobert should have a big game versus New Orleans tonight. College basketball preview is right around the corner. We start with the Friday card and then eventually put our eye towards the weekend. All next right here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, now, we're back right here on the Early Line. I almost made a big mistake and didn't get the Sixers game in. They're playing the Cavs. We're going to talk about that. I'll give you some thoughts. But Donnie, I mean, Donnie knows everything, it turns out, here. I found out during the break. So Donnie's going to have this. DRS, what kind of powers you got over there, man?
Yeah. Future. I could see into the future. House is bugged. All you need to give me is your first name, and I can find out exactly where you live and where you're going out tonight. That's all
what
I need from the
what
people.
What time
out there.
You were born? I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain. Today's my mother's birthday.
Name address.
Happy birthday to you, Ma. I know you're always tuning in. I was letting DRS know we're going out to eat. Donnie goes, "What are you going to?" Not going to say the name. And he was right. It makes no sense. He had no business knowing. I have not mentioned this. It was a shot in the dark. So, Donnie, Sixers, Cavs, shot in the dark. What happens in the basketball game here? We're on Harden and Embiid, laying a number, the over. What's the play, man?
Yeah, I think the over is going to be a play again, Kevin. Last time when they took on the New York Knicks, my first thing was I didn't like the side or the total per se, but I said, how about the Philadelphia 76ers just getting to their points prop? And I think that's another valid wager tonight where nobody is stopping just yet this Philadelphia 76ers offense. And as we like to say, you continue to ride the hot hand. And Joel Embiid and certainly James Harden have been doing that and getting some help from guys the likes of Tyrese Maxey. And maybe we'll get a sighting tonight from Tobias Harris. But for me, I would actually take the over in this game. So over 219.5, I think that's going to make some sense. Both of these offenses could get up and down the court, but particularly the Philadelphia 76ers will find themselves at 115 or higher, I do believe, tonight, Kevin.
Yeah, look, the Sixers obviously have been running. You've got a Cleveland team that has not covered not only post-break, but the two games before the All-Star break as well. Philly's been perfect against the spread with Harden and towards the over. But the number that catches my eye more than any on this board, a number that, I don't want to say it feels wrong because it's always a little strong, but Donnie, Darius Garland came right off, you know, finally first game back, gives you 33 points. And you might, well, what was he doing before that? Well, right before the break, Donnie, played three games in the month of February, 27-27-30. The other game before, I mean, 24 against Detroit. Five games in a row, Donnie, he's comfortably cashed over 20.5. I have no reason to believe that he won't have a big game here. In a game that we're expecting a lot of tempo win versus Philadelphia, I think you get involved with this Darius Garland 20.5 now. I think you're going to see this number on the move. Again, star player props, the more people click, the higher they go. Darius Garland fits the mold there. An all-star this year, 20.5, certainly has some juice. Let's hit this college basketball card here on a Friday. This is where DRS likes to operate always, in my mind. I am sure there are a couple of games that have caught your eye, Donnie. The only ranked team in action is Murray State. Really, the state of this card is these lower-level college basketball games and their conference tournaments right now. We are into the semifinal round of the OVC. And again, for those that don't know how the OVC is set up, two teams start in the semifinal, which will be Belmont and Murray State. Let's start with the Racers, who are a huge, huge favorite here versus Southeast Missouri State, laying 15.5 points. Donnie, this total as well, checking in right now at $1.50. I think actually 151 is where this number is currently sitting here. What do you think, Donnie, with Murray State in their first game so far in the OVC tournament?
Yeah, keep in mind also in these games here, now on a neutral court at the Ford Center in Evansville, Indiana, Southeast Missouri State, as well as Murray State. But also, this is one of the tough ones that we look at. Murray State's by far the best team in this conference, for my money. Number one in defensive efficiency, number one in offensive efficiency, and that catches up to you. Now, here's the interesting part about Southeast Missouri, where they might be able to give Murray State a little bit of problems, Kevin. Number one in conference play at shooting behind the arc. Not only that, Kevin, number one at making the threes and number one in volume, which is a dangerous combination. And also, if we take a look at Murray State's defense, there's 10 teams in the OVC, Kevin. They're ninth. Talking about Murray State, it chases you off of the line. So those opportunities are going to be there. Now, having said that, also number one in conference play defending the three-point line is Murray State. So they're going to give you the opportunity to shoot those, but they're defending them very well. Hand in your face, rush shot at the end of the shot clock. That's going to come into play. But if we're taking a look here from a perspective where one team can get hot from three-point range, if Southeast Missouri State can do that, they can hang around. Another matchup which you thought would be in the favor of Southeast Missouri State in conference play, you're going up against Murray State, is number one in conference play, not only at shooting the three-point shot, volume-wise and making it, they're very good, Kevin, at getting to the line. Here's the issue. Murray State is very good on defense and does not foul. So you have one team in Southeast Missouri State at getting to the free throw line, number one in volume. But then again, on the flip side, Murray State's defense is number one at not fouling you and not allowing you to get to the three-point line. One of those survival and advances here for Murray State, because the bigger picture here is winning this tournament. You don't need to win this by 30 or 40 points at this point. You just have to survive in advance to get through. Murray State's going to win this game, but I always like that matchup where one team that shoots a lot of three-point shots, Kevin, and if they get the majority of those to go down or even their average of 36%, they should be in this ballgame here.
Look, this is a spot where Southeast Missouri State is 5-0-1 in their last six games against the number. They played the first game of this tournament against Tennessee State as a 2.5-point favorite by 24, and their last game of the regular season was versus Murray State. At home, they were catching a ton of points and only lost by two. It's a spot where you feel like you'd rather have the 15.5, but definitely Murray State, if they're clicking, they do have the ability to run anybody, including Belmont, in this conference out of the gym. We know that to be true. The other game, certainly with a little bit more juice to it from a who's going to win this game perspective, is Belmont-Morehead State. Belmont only lost twice in this conference, and it was lost to two teams. They were swept by Murray State, and then they dropped one game to Morehead State. They're a four-point favorite here in this neutral court matchup, though, Donnie. And it's a spot where the total checks in at 139.5. Obviously, whomever's going to win this game would be a dog against a likely to advance Murray State. But as you were mentioning before, the opportunity to, you know, mess up those people on the bubble, Murray State is in this tournament. Whether they win another game or not, Belmont and Morehead State have big-time dreams of finding a way to crash into the tournament. It begins in this game. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what, also, just to bring up a quick point here, we talk about these teams now playing on neutral courts. One of the things that also using in your betting, you know, handicapping is both of these teams playing these upper echelon teams, talking about, you know, Murray State and Belmont, they've already played and they've already played well on that court. So now you're stepping in. You don't have any bugs or jitters out here. You got them out in the last game, which you just played yesterday. So sometimes riding the momentum of the good effort here. Hey, we've been there, done that. We went to this locker room. We already hit the shoot around, played well in this environment. Let's go ahead and see if we could take down some of these teams. We'll see if that plays into it, but also just something to keep in mind. Now today, Morehead State versus Belmont, two really good teams. This is pretty much an even matchup here, even though Belmont technically the better team overall. Morehead State, number two in defensive efficiency in conference play, Kevin. If we take a look at Belmont, they're number three overall. So if you try to make some sense of it, the one thing that's interesting about Belmont, if you're going to be a top five team, let's say in the upper half echelon of the conference in efficiency, it's very rare that you don't defend the three-point line because all of that factors in. You know, how much times do you foul? How many three-point shots you giving up? How many two-point shots and so forth? 35%. The reason I bring that up here is you have a pretty good three-point shooting team in Morehead State, which is second in conference play at knocking them down at 35%. But if we take a look also, Belmont, number one in conference play, shooting efficiency inside the arc, Kevin, 63%. They're making their shots inside the three-point line. But how about this? Morehead State's defense, number one at defending inside the arc, only giving up about 44%. And also, how about this? Morehead State's defensive pressure above the arc here, only 30% they give up here. It's going to be a fight here. Dare I say, take the dog today in Morehead State.
I'd say as well, it's a spot where Morehead State did cover both numbers versus Belmont. Two very, very different. What is going on back there? Very different. Tommy Don, I got to say, folks, I mean, look, sometimes some oddities come across, you know, backstage that you don't hear. The oddest one in the history of this show just rocked.
Put the camera on back there. Yeah, put the camera on.
Yeah, a ghoul or a goblin all of a sudden is producing this show. Man. Wow, I don't know what is going on backstage. All right, let me sneak this other one in here quickly, Donnie. BYU is a bubble team. They're right now in the second round of the WCC. Simply put, must be beating Loyola Marymount tonight if they're going to keep those dreams alive. Favor to do so. They're laying 10.5 points here in this game, but obviously nothing is guaranteed. Mid 140s for a total of 144. What do you think about this game tonight?
I mean, BYU should, it just should be open season, right? It should be open season on actually scoring the basketball because Loyola Marymount, out of 10 teams in conference play, is 10th in efficiency, 10th in effective field goal percentage on defense. Three-point percentage, Kevin? Yeah, 10th as well. And how about this? Ooh, they stepped up their game inside the arc, only 9th in conference play at letting you score. BYU should be able to do some damage on offense. That's the only way I can look in this game live from Orleans Arena down in Vegas tonight.
Not bad. 8 of the last 10 over for Loyola Marymount as well. Now, the one under, though, or one of the unders, I should say, in that run did come versus BYU. BYU is an interesting team because now we're on this neutral court. They were a 500 team overall when you talk about overs and unders. But 9 of their 12 games at home went under. What does that mean? On the road, big-time over team. Neutral court. But if you pair the fact that both of these teams have been playing in the gym, Loyola Marymount has been more of an over team, certainly, and we're not now at BYU, right? This could very well then line up for a nice spot here with this game, of course, being in Vegas. Shout out to Consig. This could be a good spot for some points here in this WCC tournament game. Huge weekend slate of college basketball. We break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on SportsGrid. Big-time weekend of college basketball. look, there's ranked action. There's, you know, bubble teams needing victories. But the biggest game is Duke-UNC one last time with Coach K, unless they end up somehow meeting inside the ACC tournament. But, of course, at Duke, it's a huge, huge game here, DRS. This is going to be K's last game at home with Duke. And I know people entering the season, you know, were making, oh, did you know K is going to retire? Did you know K? And I understand. I actually, Donnie, do not think that this has been, like, the prevailing theme of this college basketball season. I don't feel as if people have been beaten over the head by the idea that this is going to be K's last year. Maybe that's because we haven't done that here on this show. But this is a big-time deal to me, Don, that you have, you know, one of the all-time legendary coaches of this sport, last ever game at home versus, you know, the biggest probably rivalry in all of college basketball one final time.
I think it's great. I really do. And I love the fact that each year the ACC makes it a point that the last regular season game is North Carolina and Duke, as it should be. And also being in Cameron Indoor, where Coach K, one final time at home, to sort of have a send-off against North Carolina. By the way, Duke is a much better team than North Carolina is, already blasting them in Chapel Hill, and they'll probably pound them in this game as well. But I know there's going to be a lot of contrarian bettors in value, like, hey, Coach K, it's going to be a little bit of a tax on Duke, and it's going to be real emotional. But let me tell you something here. It is going to be emotional. But once that ball tips off and a three ball goes down either way or a rebound, these kids don't really care about what's going on around them here, because this is a rivalry. It's big anyway. It makes it a little bit bigger that Coach K is there, but at no shape and point am I saying, like, you know what? Coach K is going to go out in style with a Duke 30-point win. All he wants to do is beat North Carolina by 1 point in this game. But having said that, when you're trying to back this game and see what makes some sense, Duke is the number one defensive team in ACC play. We already know Duke's very good and very efficient on offense, but it's a bad matchup overall for the Carolina Tar Heels. If we take a look here, 3-point shots, North Carolina here shoots about 40% of their total shots from behind the arc in a 15-team ACC. Duke, number one at defending the three-point line and number one at not letting you score from the three-point line. So then you try to say, okay, well, where's the matchup make sense here? Does Carolina work off the dribble drive and score a lot inside the arc? Not necessarily, Kevin. Their point distribution, 13 out of 15 teams that's scoring inside the arc, and that's where you can beat Duke. 61% of the point distribution from Duke's defense actually comes from inside the arc. It's why every time, Kevin, this year they lined up against Virginia loves to score inside the arc, which is a great matchup because Duke will let you do that. If you're going to say here, Duke says, hey, we'll let you score inside the arc, and those guys like, now we're good with that. We like to use a little bit more from getting to the free throw line and from outside the arc. That's not going to work against Duke. Duke should win by margin in this game, but at the same time, I might just be enjoying this game overall, saying, hey, last time Coach K is going to coach against Carolina in Cameron Indoor, it's going to be a big environment. I'll be watching, but not necessarily betting in this environment.
It'll be interesting to see where some of these numbers line up. Ultimately, we don't have right your spreads and things like that. What I can work off of a little bit here is the last time they played, it wasn't all that long ago, 5th of February, month gap, right? Duke was a 3.5-point favorite at UNC, of course, and a total was 152.5. 87-67 final score. Duke rolls. You talk about that bad matchup there. One thing we've seen, Don, it's an odd trend, but the last five times Duke has covered, the game has gone over the total. What that really also means is the last time that they've covered, it's been with big offensive performances and their team totals are going over as well. The floor for this total is going to be $1.50. That means that their team total is going to be 80 or better. But if you look for their three of their last four games, 88, you know, the low mark, 65 versus Virginia, but it's Virginia, 97 versus Cuse, 86 versus Pittsburgh. Duke offensively has just been rolling this season and, of course, has been rolling right now. We saw them throw again that 87 spot up there versus UNC. So the expectation for points is certainly legit. Another big game, Donnie, this weekend, when you look at the SEC, comes from Tennessee and Arkansas. Arkansas has been looking to obviously close out this season as strong as imaginable. And at home versus Kentucky, they win by 2. At home versus LSU, they win by 1. Huge wins. Musselman's going wild. The committee is not ultimately saying, they didn't cover, though. But they did not cover in those games, Donnie. And they're now going to go to Tennessee, and they're going to go as an underdog. I have no doubt about that. The Volunteers have a real nice opportunity to pump this resume up, though, with a win at home versus Arkansas. But I'll tell you, DRS, I look at this game, and if the Razorbacks find a way to win this one, and move themselves to 25-6. They'd be winners of about 13 of the last 14, get something along those lines. Arkansas, all of a sudden, absolutely, if not they haven't already, deserves a spot in any conversation about national championship contenders.
Yeah, and I think Arkansas has a legitimate chance of taking down Tennessee here. Now, it's going to be tough to beat them on Rocky Top. We understand that here. Season coming to an end. Both of these teams are going to be in March Madness, so there's not a ton of pressure, but more bragging rights. And, yes, let's improve our seeding here heading into the conference tournament and also in March Madness. But let's take a look at the thing that we love, right? Defense. Defense in the SEC this year. Arkansas's defense here, number one in efficiency in SEC play. Defense always travels. We know that Tennessee is a very good three-point shooting team, but you know what Arkansas does? Number one, Kevin, in conference. By defending the three-point line. So then if we flip it over and say, okay, well, if they defend the three-point line, the three balls aren't falling for Tennessee. Guess what this? 14 teams in the SEC. You know who's dead last in shooting percentage inside the arc? That's Tennessee at 45.5%. Also coupled with an Arkansas defense, Kevin, number one at defending the three-point line, number one at defending inside the arc. I'm going to go with the defensive team here, and this is no slouch on Tennessee's defense. They got a very good defense, but I'm riding that hot hand. Mm-hmm. I like Arkansas. I've talked them up over the past 2 weeks. It's not going to stop now. Give me the Razorbacks going on the road to Rocky Top and handling their business.
Look, it's an interesting thing you bring up the total. The last time they played, and again, not that long ago, 19th of February, total was 138. 58-48 final for Arkansas. 106 points on the board. Again, that total's going to come down a bit. It's probably going to be mid-130s. Expectation, again, just based off this last game there, but you still were not even in range. And Tennessee, as Donnie said, some would argue have even a better defense. If you go, you know, full landscape perspective on KenPom, they position Tennessee as the third best defense efficiency-wise in the country. SEC play, all of that there. So it shows you that this should be a defensive battle. No doubt, big-time game, though. Certainly we talk about seeding and things of that nature. Another big game, Donnie, coming to us from the Big 12 here is Kansas-Texas. Now, Kansas in action yesterday versus TCU. Look, you win. That's great. TCU is going to be a tournament team by four. That certainly leaves a bit to be desired. Nowhere near a cover. They're playing this last one here versus Texas, and it's a good opportunity, I think, for both of these teams. But what these teams are looking to accomplish is very different. Kansas is trying to keep one-line hopes alive. Texas is just trying to continue to climb out of a disadvantageous position when ultimately that bracket is revealed. Kansas is at home, senior night, and everything that comes with that, Donnie. What do you think of this game here in the Big 12?
Yeah, I'm going to take Kansas in this game. I think it's one of those get-right games, even though they did technically get right against TCU. And quite frankly, TCU just a tough matchup there for Kansas as TCU, again, hits their team total in that game. Kansas, number one in the conference play on offense in efficiency, number one in effective field goal percentage. And also, sometimes we forget about it, how good Kansas is on offense. Still a very good defensive team in effective field goal percentage. Their defense in Big 12 play, that is also number one overall. Sometimes you live by the three, you die by the three. The one thing Kansas does, Kevin, is defend the three-point shot. Number one in conference play. Anytime you see a team that's going to give up 30% or less from three-point range, that's a very good defense, which means they're chasing out and closing out on shooters, which is already going to be tough for Texas to go into Fog Allen and sort of play well. One of the best home court advantages that you're going to see in college basketball. I just think Kansas is the better team. Kansas should be able to win this game over Texas.
The last time they played at Texas, total was $132. 79-76. One of those surprising games that just soars past a number. A good part of the reason is each team shot 23 free throws in the game. But again, when you look at that final score, Kansas at home again has been more of an over team than an under team, despite the under that they played versus TCU. Texas usually keeps totals in those low 130s. It could be a nice spot to come back to and over. Enough time to bring up one more game, and it's a huge game with bubble implications. Memphis hosts Houston. Winning in. I don't care about this Big Ten nonsense anymore. If Memphis gets a sweep over Houston, they absolutely have to be not only guaranteed to be in, they should not be in any type of play-in scenario. It's completely nonsensical here, Donnie. But it's about how much does Memphis need this? I don't think they should need it ultimately because Houston's good. They cannot be routed. Memphis has a win over Houston. At the Cougars, they won 69-59. By the way, I don't know if you saw this, Donnie. Yesterday, we broke down a Memphis-USF game there. Total was low 130s. There was about 110 points on the board with a minute left. 22 points scored. 22 Oof. Points scored in the final minute of that basketball game to cash an over ticket, which is unbelievable here. So it could be low scoring as well. What do you think, Donnie, about what could make some sense in this game and how much the Memphis Tigers need it?
This is great because it feels like Houston playing for respect on seeding in March Madness and Memphis playing for actually a line to get seeded here in March Madness. And rightfully so. This isn't one of those games where it's like, hey, last time they played around and Houston just ripped through this conference. Oh, Memphis did beat them and they're going to be game in this. One of the more talented teams that you're still waiting for them to wake up, even though it looks like they're going to get into the tournament, the Memphis Tigers. I like Houston. I'm going to be betting Houston once March Madness starts. We'll see what bracket they end up in, but at least getting to the Final Four. But I don't think Memphis actually needs a victory in this game versus Houston. Play it close in the eyes of the, you know, March Madness, you know, team that's going to go out there and the Selection Sunday crew. I think they'll be able to put them in anyway. But this will be a feather in your belt. You want to go into Selection Sunday in the conference tournament, not worrying about actually making the tournament. Go out there and beat Houston. But at the same way, I'm looking at Houston going like, hey, we have visions of grandeur here. We want a three line. We want a two line. We want to see how we can win this game against Memphis in the national spotlight, then win our conference tournament and see where we end up. Great game here at noon. That's going to take place on Sunday at the FedEx Forum. Good one.
Absolutely. Look, here's the other thing with this game, though, is just trying to project out a line, you know, if we can, right? Memphis was catching 9.5 on the road. You now flip this back to Memphis, 4, 3.5. It's going to be a number that people that like Houston, like yourself, Don, are going to be very, very enticed by. I'll say this, though. In Houston this year, as a road favorite, 6-2 to the over. Memphis, obviously, we know, can play with that tempo. Again, last time they met, I know it was an under, but we've seen Memphis be an over team at home. This is a spot that, because the last time they played, there was that 141.5 number. If that can come down a little bit because of the under that they played last go around there, and you get, you know, high 130s, mid 130s, another spot there where you could see some points. Look, the college card fills up this weekend. Sunday, Illinois, Iowa, double-ranked action. Ohio State, Michigan. I'm sure the Wolverines will be resting people because the game doesn't matter for them. They don't actually need to win the game at all. Let me ask you about that quickly, Donnie, right? Seriously, like Michigan at Ohio State. What do they need to do? Nothing? Do they really need to do nothing in that game?
It almost feels like it's a one-off. If they win it, they're in automatically. But if they lose, it's like, hey, let's just show up in the Big Ten tournament, win one game, and get in. It's just certainly an oddity here. And I would like to see those odds come back up on the FanDuel Sportsbook just to see exactly what they actually are at this point.
Just give us an idea. Like Michigan's going to play Maryland, win by 3, and then be an automatic lock to I just don't I don't understand the vision, folks. But that'll do it. Except you have to listen up. One final segment before we send you off into the weekend here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the week right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh getting you through this week, heading into a big college basketball weekend. And before we do that, obviously the morning after coming up with Ben Stevens, they set the table over the next 3 hours here. But this weekend feels a lot about Duke, feels a lot about UNC, and Coach K sending him off at Cameron Indoor Stadium. So you need to listen up. All right, Coach K here, send off Cameron Indoor Stadium. Do you know over 200 former players have been invited back for this one? Ticket prices going for about 50 grand with the best seats in the house. Unbelievable here, as we're actually going to send off Coach K in style, maybe with a victory over UNC, but more importantly, an institution, right? Duke, 1980, Coach K took the sideline in 1980. We sit here in 2022, over 40 years on the sideline. And in today's environment, probably never would have lasted because Coach K struggled for the first few years in ACC competition, but they stuck by him, and rightfully so. Can't you remember all those teams with Hurley and Leitner and Grant Hill finally getting over the hump, getting smoked first time around there versus UNLV, then coming back and beating the next year that great UNLV team in the Final Four, winning their first championship, and on the way they go to multiple national championships over the past 40 years that Coach K has been in Duke. But it's pretty impressive here, because as we line up on the eve, or basically the eve, of the final week here of college basketball with conference tournament play and heading into March Madness, sure, Coach K wants to get his team one more banner hanging in Cameron Indoor Stadium, but it's not really about that. It's about the pageantry of college basketball, what Coach K actually meant to the game, the haters who hated Duke, and the people that love the Duke Blue Devils. One thing you could say at every single turn, that Coach K and Duke were certainly at the top of the spectrum, whether it's winning or just moving the needle on ESPN. So many big things to happen here as he gets sent off in style on a Saturday night. Now, before we send you off in style here on the early line and off to the morning after, you're going to need to enjoy your weekend. Big college basketball card Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Enjoy it. And here comes Ben and the morning after.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.